Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So Omicron is here. Omicron is going nowhere by the looks of things. And yeah, we just heard from our Israeli correspondents how they believe in the next 3 to 4 weeks, 40 to 50% of the Israeli population will be infected by or would have been infected by Omicron. These are serious figures. Joining us now on the air is Professor Shabir Mahdi. He's a vaccinologist at the University of the Witwatersrand. A very good morning to you, Professor.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Professor, why has the National Department of Health decided to pause its plan to stop the contact tracing and isolation of people that have been exposed to COVID-19?
Well, I'm not too sure if I'm the best person to answer that. Obviously, the Department of Health needs to provide clarity. It's unfortunate that it took that course of action in reversing its earlier plan to do away with contact tracing and with quarantine. Because the reality in South Africa at this point in the pandemic is that it hasn't achieved much when it comes to limiting the number of people that have been infected. If contact tracing and quarantine did work in the South African context, we wouldn't have had 3/4 of the population being infected with the virus during the course of the first 3 weeks. So it's been damaging, it's been resource intensive, and to a large extent a waste of resources to embark on that sort of a strategy, especially contact tracing.
So with you saying the population through the initial different variants being infected, up to 3/4 of our population, in fact, being infected, it doesn't come then as a surprise that Israel is predicting in their model that upwards of between 40 and 50% of their population will be infected or within the next 3 to 4 weeks with Omicron.
Certainly not. And I think in South Africa, over the course of the past few weeks, the 6 to 8 weeks that Omicron has been circulating, 40% of South Africans very likely have also been infected with Omicron because it's a much more transmissible virus. It spreads much more rapidly than anything that we dealt with in the past. So I think when countries are estimating that 1/3 of the population will be infected with Omicron over a period of 2 to 3 months, that is a reasonable expectation. The reason being that vaccines unfortunately don't protect against infection. They do a marvelous job when it comes to protecting against severe disease, which is what matters most. And even people that have recovered from past infections due to other variants are also susceptible to having reinfections due to Omicron. So it doesn't come as too much of a surprise when those sort of estimates are coming forward.
We've seen vaccine hesitancy in the past. I don't know whether we're now reaching a point where there could be a lethargic attitude towards going out and getting booster shots. Can you just affirm to our listeners the importance of the booster shots that are now being rolled out?
So the booster shots are most needed for those people that are at high risk of developing severe disease, and certainly anyone that has only received a single dose of the J&J vaccine that is inadequate. Those people certainly should receive the second dose of vaccine. But beyond that, for people that have received 2 doses of the Pfizer vaccine, we do know that if they're above the age of 65, especially if they've got underlying medical conditions, or anyone that has got any sort of underlying condition that suppresses their immune system, 2 doses of the Pfizer vaccine is inadequate. A 3rd dose is required to enhance their protection against severe disease. So even two doses will probably provide 70 to 80% protection against severe disease in those individuals. By getting that 3rd dose, you can take that protection up into the 90s, which is where you want to be.
And in terms of people's attitude towards just wanting to move on with their lives, can we stress the importance of masks, sanitizing, and social distancing?
Yeah, I think we need to become a bit more nuanced, and we should do away with some of the sort of COVID, what I would call things that really don't work. So things such as sanitizing, it's good hygiene practice in general, but it doesn't do much when it comes to protecting against severe disease. Doing thermal screening when you're going to a shopping mall really doesn't achieve anything, because that type of thermal screening essentially doesn't pick up someone that could have a fever. And it doesn't really do much in terms of protecting against infection. The mask wearing is really something that we need to be sensitive to, especially when indoors. But certainly we don't need to be wearing a mask when walking outdoors and when in parks and when at a beach. So I think government needs to now relook what strategies are actually warranted, including what non-pharmacological interventions are still warranted, so that we can get greater buy-in for fewer types of intervention, which are most impactful.
Well, thank you, Professor. I do appreciate it, and a very happy New Year to you and to your colleagues, and thank you for everything that you guys are doing in the fight against this pandemic.
Thanks, and all the best to you as well.
That was Professor Shabi Madi. He is from the University of the Witwatersrand.